This episode of Café de René has been brought to you by Manscaped. Manscaped, the number one choice in men's below-the-belt grooming. Featuring the new and improved Lawnmower 4.0 with a built-in LED light, ceramic blade for a closer cut, and also completely waterproof. To get that, but also including the rest of the package, including your ball deodorant, t-shirt, free boxes, weed whacker, please head over to manscaped.com, use the code CAFE. Not only will you get all that, you will also get free shipping and also 20% off. So yep, please head over to Manscaped, use the code CAFE, and your balls will thank you. Welcome to another edition of Café de René. I'm on travel duties at the minute. I am James Dunstall, joined once again by the style of show, Mr. René Dupree. René, how are you doing?
Bonjour!
I'm doing good. Today's a great day. I found out that I'm in Times Square, baby. Harry! I reached the top!
Tell everyone why you're on Times Square.
Huh?
Tell everyone why you're there.
Oh, yeah, it's Wrestling Crypto. It's a new crypto that's out. It's a wrestling crypto. I highly recommend it. Crypto might be the future. So, yeah, invest in your future, Wrestling Crypto.
Yeah, I've been playing crypto myself for the past year, and it's great. Like, there's some success stories. Some people finding cryptos at the beginning, putting $1,000 on it, and now they're retiring because of it.
No shit.
So, with the amount of wrestling fans we've got, I would imagine it's the price of it's going to be shooting up pretty hot, sky high pretty quickly. So everyone jump onto it quick as you can.
Quick as you can. Wrestling crypto. Crypto Wrestling Inu, working for wrestlers. Yeah.
So, speaking of wrestlers, René, have you heard the news that the Steiner brothers are being inducted into the Hall of Fame? That was a turn up for the books, especially with Scotty Steiner.
Right? That's like, never say never. Like, that's the prime example. Who would have thunk
it? That's why I say it to you.
Dude, wasn't he banned from going to the Hall of Fame after he threatened to kill Hulk Hogan?
Yeah, was it? Yeah, it was Hogan, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And he's been saying all sorts about Triple H over the years. And
oh, man. He like, buried the hell out of him, didn't he?
I heard for the longest time they wanted both Steiners to be in it, obviously. But they thought if Scott doesn't do it, then we're going to have Rick, obviously. Rick's son, Bron Breakker, Bronson Brocksteiner. He's a big star. He's actually getting called up to the main roster after WrestleMania.
Oh, by looks
of it. So, obviously, they've got that connection now. And they've been making references to Scott Steiner. Like, they've been calling Bronson the big booty nephew, them sort of things. But, yeah, it's great to see, him in the Hall of Fame. Well,
the big booty nephew. Okay, sorry.
But that's great to hear. I'm a big Steiner Brothers fan. You wrestled Scott Steiner in WWE, and I would imagine you've worked on the independents as well.
Yeah. Yeah, I only met Rick one time. That was for a great North Wrestling show. He was a nice guy. But Scotty I always got along with. But, yeah, he's outspoken. He's not scared to speak his mind.
Something like yourself.
I guess. I don't think I'm that bad, am I?
No. Cool. Well, speaking of Hall of Fame, René, the fans voted in the dozens again. And
he's going into the Hall of Fame tomorrow. Well, he's going in Friday. We're recording on Tuesday. But The Undertaker won the votes. So let's get to it. So, Renee, first time you became aware of The Undertaker?
Well, shit. I was like, what, 6 or 7 years old? Because he debuted in, what, 91, right? Survivor Series?
90, yeah.
Was it 90?
Yeah, I made a fuck up last week. It was 90, not 91. I actually put a disclaimer on before the intro started saying, it's 90.
Holy shit. Okay, so we're 2022. So I was 6 years old when he debuted.
Wow.
Yeah. You know, I used to imitate him when I was in the, recess. I was like in the fourth grade, so I would have been like, what, 7 or 8 years old. You know how you used to like get punched and he'd do like the, you know, he'd register, but he'd do like no sell and just look at him. I used to do that. That's how much of a fan I was.
Yeah.
That's probably why I have such brain problems today. Thanks, Undertaker.
I used to just love like a Mortician Taker, the one you're speaking of.
Yeah,
that's up there. Like my favorite. What is your favorite Taker?
Well, probably when I was a little kid, right?
I'm a big fan of the Ministry of Darkness Taker. You know, when he was like the devil, basically in the Attitude Era. I love that.
Cool. I hated the American Badass. I fucking despise that. I
know. Yeah.
Yeah. But
well,
go ahead.
Sorry. Yep. So, fast forward, and then you got signed by WWE. When was the, well? Did you meet The Undertaker before signing for WWE, or was it after you signed?
After, I think I met him at a SummerSlam. I think it was at a big pay per view. Like a dual pay-per-view. And then you just realize how fucking big he is, right? He's a big dude.
Was this when he was on the main roster? Yeah.
Yeah. I was too scared to go fucking say hi to him, right?
Right.
A lot of guys would say, oh, he's arrogant. No, it's because I've been watching you since I was 6 years old, and it's like you're starstruck, right?
Starstruck, yeah.
The first time I actually said two words to him was my first house show on the SmackDown roster. Yeah, it was, we were in Tampa, Florida. It was my first house show with SmackDown. And I was the first one there, and he was the second one. And I just met him at the ringside, and I said, hi, my name's Renee. And he didn't even look at me. He just said, hi, Undertaker. But didn't even make eye contact. Yeah. That was the first time I met him.
So this is when you're on the SmackDown, so you start and getting the push, having the feud with Cena. You mentioned in that John Cena episode that after the beatdown you gave on Cena, that Undertaker was really impressed by it.
Well, fuck yeah, because the heat from the crowd. I mean, everybody was impressed by it. That's when I powerbombed through the table and shit.
Mm.
Yeah, I was like, holy shit, kid. Good job. Mm. Yeah.
What was the rest of the locker room like, around them? Like, was there, like, intimidation? Like, did they feel intimidated, or did you just notice that everyone was kind of relaxed around them?
He had his ass kissers, you know? Guys would stooge off like Spike Dudley. Spike Dudley was a little shit disturber. He'd always go fucking like, oh, hey, Taker, this guy said this or this guy said that.
Wow.
Yeah. Like, I remember when Pewter first, Daniel Pewter, tough enough guy.
Yeah, someone I'm going to have to bring on.
Yeah, so like that's right after he won the Tough Enough. It was like $250,000 a year or whatever.
Hmm.
And so everybody's at the ring, and then there's Spike running up to Taker like, oh, where is he? Just to stir the pot, right? And I heard that, like, here's Taker walking around and says, where's that fucking pewter? I was like, oh, shit. So I ran backstage and found the guy. I said, listen, get your ass to the ring, shake everybody's hand, go to Taker first. You know what I mean?
All right.
Yeah. Because don't forget, at that point in time, a quarter of a million, majority of guys weren't making that much.
No.
Majority of guys were lucky to make half of that. At that point in time, right? So, for a guy straight off the street with no experience to make that, you know, that type of game. We're talking, what, 2004?
Yeah, 2004, yeah.
So 18 years ago, right?
It's, I mean, don't get me wrong, I think what it is, it doesn't help the company. Obviously, it's great for publicity, but the company announced, in fact, the winner's going to get $250,000 or whatever it was.
Yeah.
It's going to get so much heat from the boys, like, straight away. Like, they've been busting their asses off for the best part 10, 20 years, some wrestlers.
Yeah.
Kid comes along, wins it, and automatically he's getting his mega contract. Straight away, I feel sorry for the guy, but I'm like, well, I mean, thankfully, Maven sounded like he didn't get it too bad when we spoke to him.
Yeah,
obviously,
but
he would have had some heat.
His wasn't $1 million tough enough.
I suppose not, yeah.
His was just a standard contract.
Right.
He wanted, I think the $1 million was to up the ante to make it more interesting for the viewers.
Yeah.
But the thing is, it kills fucking morale in the locker room, right?
Yeah. I mean, it's kind of like back in the day when Vince made the WBF and
exactly.
The boys back then were pissed. And even like when he made the XFL, he's pumping all his money into it. And it was the wrestlers who was earning Vince all this money for him to pump it into the XFL.
Yeah. I think I heard a Rikishi interview said as soon as the XFL was created, or they went bankrupt, and they were working overtime.
Wow.
No time off. So basically, they're the ones funding his little side project, right?
Yeah.
Taking the bumps and shit. Well, it is what it is.
Yep. So Spike Dudley was a little snitch.
Oh, yeah. He was a little shit disturber. Big time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, so... who was, you mentioned there was the other ass kisses. Want to name names? JBL.
Oh, fuck. Honestly, one time I was at ringside, right? And Taker was there. He's like, where's Bradshaw? I need to be entertained. He literally said that. Like, I think Bradshaw's sole purpose was to entertain Taker.
A little jester.
Yeah. Yeah. That was his sole purpose, was to entertain Taker.
Well, yeah. So, we spoke about it briefly last week, Great American Bash, and you said that the house drew nothing. There was no house being drawn. But the main event was Taker against the Dudleys. Obviously, Paul Bearer got buried, well, cemented or concreted that way.
Yeah.
No, we know Bully Ray's a dick. All right. It's not just us saying that. I think every wrestling podcast you listen to, everyone just hates Bully Ray. He's just a prick.
That was his last night, too. That was their last night.
It was. They done that.
And they got fired.
I think they done the one night stand about a week or two after, and then they left. I think you're right, Renee. I think that was their last night, possibly.
Yeah.
And, it was near the end. But I know they'd done the ECW one night stand in 2005. It was rather they brought the Dudleys back for it, or that was their last night. But one night stand was literally around this sort of time, Great American Bash.
I remember because I think they got fired at TV or released or whatever. And I remember seeing Bubba and Devon talking with Pat, like, come on, Pat. Just remember the story I told you about Bubba slapping the shit out of Sly?
Yes.
And Pat was like, I don't know. You know, it's the way it is.
Did Taker ever tell you many stories about the working with the Dudleys or vice versa?
Taker telling me stories about what?
Working with the Dudleys or vice versa?
No. No, I didn't have that close a relationship with him at all. No. I mean, after the initial like hazing and the testing period and the, you know what I mean, to see, you know, what you're made of or whatever. I think he warmed up to me a little bit.
Right.
Yeah.
So you mentioned the hazing. So was Taker involved in any of the hazing, or did he send like his underlings to do it?
Yeah, it's almost like he's like the top, and then he has other guys beneath him. You know, all right, let's fuck with this guy and see what he's made of. And, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Test him. No, that's just at that point in time, that was the mentality, and that's what they did, right?
Yeah.
I mean, when they threw all my shit in the shower, and that kind of bothered me, but it didn't really bother me, right? It was the flag.
Yes.
That to me was pushing, because I remember when I walked into the locker room and I saw the fucking flag in the toilet, and Devon was in there with me. I grabbed the flag and I fucking whipped it against the wall. Motherfuckers. He's like, "Ray, what's wrong?" I said, "They fucking shit on my flag." So then you know that they found it, and that was the end of it. There's no more. Yeah, I was fucking hot. That's crossing it, you know, that's crossing the line.
How was Devon compared to Bully?
Devon?
Yeah.
I always like Devon. He's always in a good mood. But, you know, it's like yin and yang. Not just because they're black and white, just because they're totally opposites. But you know what? The success of that tag team, they had to be that way.
Yeah.
If they were both dicks like Bubba, they would have been fired right off the get-go. And if they were both nice like Devon, they would have been eaten up. So it's almost like needed the two, but Devon, Bubba's head got too big because they were over. They were popular.
Yeah.
But his fucking ego just got out of control.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'll be the first one to say, Renee, I'm a fan of the Dudleys, you know. I know it's just like the 3D table spot, but I was a fan of that growing up. Obviously, getting older, hearing what Bully's like, it's like, man, that guy's dick. But I've always heard good things about Devon, but apparently they haven't spoken for a couple of years. Like, they don't really talk at all that much anymore.
Well, they never traveled together either.
No.
No.
Right.
No, they didn't get along at all. They did business in the ring, and they relied, because, listen, they tried separating them, and they didn't amount to shit.
Hmm.
They went their separate ways, right? I think Devon was a priest or some shit, right?
Oh, Reverend Devon.
Right.
It's all the days.
Yeah. And then Bubba tried to do it, and they realized, okay, this ain't working, so they put him back together, right? I thought this was about Taker. Why are we talking about that fat fuck?
Dude, we're just, you know, casual. Everyone likes it. These branching storylines we're speaking about. But
right.
So speaking of Taker, obviously JBL's the champion at this point. Did you get a sense from Taker when JBL was champion, or was he happy that one of his underlings was the champion?
No, they're boys, right? So, but I remember them having some fucking shitty matches. Oh,
yeah.
God. We were in Terre Haute, Indiana for a Sunday afternoon show, right? It was lucky if there was 1,000 people there. It was a fucking shitty house. And the match, everybody was chanting boring. Like, the whole crowd was chanting boring. And Booker T, there's the monitor backstage at all the shows, right? And he'd be like doing his jump rope, but he always liked to do commentating on the match. And every time they hear boring, he'd go, "They're looking for Doreen. Is Doreen in the building?" I used to make you laugh.
It's a bit like I mentioned last week, it's amazing JBL became champion. Like, I like the JBL gimmick, but he was a boring wrestler. I love the clothesline from hell. Okay, I love that. But besides that, the guy, because he had two left feet.
Nah, he was a big Stan Hansen fan, right?
Yeah. Like, I think everyone down, is.
I think he just tried to wrestle because the lariat, which is basically Sten's, you know.
Mm.
He tried to wrestle like Sten. But you can't be like Sten. There's only one Sten Hansen, you know.
So, did you ever travel with Taker?
No.
No?
No. Never traveled with him. I was traveling with Scotty Tuhati, and we did a house show loop. It was me and Taker. Taker usually always worked tag matches when he was on the road, for the most part, when I was there. But every night, it was the main event. It was me and Luther Reigns against Taker and Jindrak.
Oh, well.
Yeah. And then I remember because Scotty, he's a straight shooter, and at that point in time, he'd been around for 10, 12 yeah. years at the company, right? He's like, I think Taker likes you, man. Well, the famous old school walk in the top rope, you know where he got it from?
Don.
The spoiler, Don Jardine.
Situation with a great deal of interest. And there's the spoiler walking that top rope. And to see a man with that kind of balance is almost uncanny. And
you know who trained the spoiler, Don Jardine? My father.
Wow.
You know where the fucking move was created? In my backyard.
Really?
Yeah.
It's the first time I heard of that.
Well, you're here. It's a first, wrestling, folks.
Wrestling history here, folks. Education, yeah. Wrestling 101.
Yeah.
So, something you mentioned on last week's Eddie Guerrero episode, Renee. So, there was the perception that, not the locker room, but some of them thought you were gay. And so you told the story where, you know, you got this beautiful European girl. I think she was German, you said, or European anyway.
German.
Your favorite, the Germans. We love you, Germany. We know we're popular over there. Well, Renee's popular over there. I'm just a sidekick. And you mentioned, you know, Eddie and Vicky was there. And you came rather back to the arena or to the hotel, whatever. And Taker said to you, I thought you were gay. And you said no. And bye, no.
Yeah.
After this incident, did you notice if Taker was nicer towards you than before that? So.
He got nicer towards me.
Yeah.
After the Bob Holly incident.
Right.
And I kept wrestling because most people saying a tough enough guy would have sued. Because I would have had a case and I could have gotten millions off him.
Oh, yeah.
There was witnesses. I got the fucking, you know what I mean? And he's really got nice with me after when the hematoma, the artery actually exploded in the plane. And I showed up, that happened on a Wednesday. I showed up to work on a Saturday. Yeah. Right. Imagine the lawsuit that could have been. Think about it.
We wouldn't be doing this podcast.
Right? Oh, I could be a multi-millionaire after that. Easily. But yeah, my head exploded on a Wednesday. I was back on the house loops on a Saturday. And then that Tuesday at the taping is when we did the sacrifice angle, where he tombstone on the steps. Yeah. That was fresh off. That was fresh off cauterizing the artery in my temple. Because, you know, after the initial beatdown from Bob, right, I still wrestled for several weeks. But then I noticed that there was this lump on the side of my head getting bigger and bigger and bigger. It was the hematoma. The reason it became bigger so fast is because the hematoma was attached to an artery that was pumping blood into it.
Fuck.
Yeah. So, I mean, so then we're in
a... Lucky to be alive, dude.
I know. I know. And plus, I'm fucking flying all over the place. That shit could have easily exploded. Yeah. So, we were in Philadelphia, and the team doctor at the time said, I can get rid of that right now. So, we went in a locker room. Taker, Bradshaw, the seamstresses, all the boys are like huddled around watching the doctor cut me open and fucking yank on the hematoma. Yeah, but what happened was he lanced it. You're supposed to cauterize it. Cauterize it is when you burn the thing, but he actually just lanced it. But they put me back in the ring. So what happened is they get infected, and then like it was, and we had matches like again against Taker on the house show, and it was so big that I tagged in Luther Reigns. I get into the ring, but as I'm getting into the ring, this fucking thing's so big, it hits the top rope, and the fucking explodes.
Wow. It's
fucking just like a hose, because it's an artery, right? And then I noticed I was losing so much blood, I tagged back out, and I looked over to the side of the ring, I said, I pointed to my head, he's like, he started cussing me out. I felt like saying, Mark, okay, no more Taker here, your real name's Mark. Mark? This isn't a fucking razor blade gig, Mark. This is an artery in my fucking temple. A little bit different here. You know what I mean? Yeah. I didn't say that, of course. But now I would in a fucking heartbeat. But as a 20-year-old kid, no.
No. So it was known that Bob Holly was one of his boys after the whole incident. What was Taker like with Holly? Did he like lose respect for Holly, or was he just the same?
Bob Holly told me a story once, because we wrote together for quite a while, right? Before the whole...
Yeah.
That when he had first started, Percy Pringle, that was Paul Bearer and Undertaker, they were all in line waiting at a hotel, like on a European trip. And they were like ribbing him, cracking jokes. And then Bob said, why don't you suck my dick? He said that to Taker. This is what he's telling me now. Maybe that's why, Bob, you're always an enhancement talent and you never went any further than that. Maybe. See, Bob would always like to tell you how tough he was and how fucking, you know what I mean? Lots of insecurity in that man.
Yeah.
Massive inferiority complex in that man. Yeah. He has serious fucking issues, man. Serious.
So you done the Undertaker, obviously, sacrifice spot. So how did that come about, and why was it you who was chosen to do so?
Well, there was nothing for me planned. I think originally they wanted Spike Dudley.
Right.
And then Taker went up to me and says, no, Ray, I chose you. Because Spike is like, because don't forget, he was wrestling Randy Orton that Mania.
Yeah, great match.
Okay, but who else resembles Randy?
Yeah, similar build, similar look, yeah.
Right?
Yes.
But it was kind of, you know. But the thing is, doing that with him, right, was better exposure, because if not, I would have just been on the Battle Royal, the WrestleMania 20 pre-show Battle Royal. Does anybody fucking remember that?
I do, because I'm a nerd. I know who won it.
Who won it?
Booker T.
Okay, well, that's you, probably only you.
Oh, just me.
Yeah. The thing is, doing that with him is more memorable. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. I think I got on his DVD, which I never got paid for, by the way, WWE, because they quit sending me royalty checks. But I think I was on his DVD. I think Sly got the money instead of me.
Hello.
Yeah, because he's Pat's boy. Anyway, keep going.
So
I wanted to tell you. Well, after he tombstormed in the steps, it was right after that we flew to... Where was it? In Hollywood, right? 21?
Yeah, Staples Center.
So, me being the old school wrestler that I am, I wore a neck collar the whole week.
Wow.
If you go watch the Hall of Fame, I don't know if you can watch it, but when they pan, I couldn't see the big screen, but I knew exactly when they put the camera on me, because the fucking entire place was booing their asses off. Just booing me. And I knew the camera's on me. Kind of, you remember when Bobby Heenan had the fucking neck collar? Yeah. It was something like that. Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
So, what did you think to his match against Orton at WrestleMania?
I never watched it.
No?
No.
I recommend it.
Yeah?
good match. I recommend it. I think it's an underrated match. For Taker, I really do. I enjoyed it. So after WrestleMania, Renee, I don't think we've ever spoken about it. What did you do after WrestleMania? Did you take time off to for your new look, or was you still on the SmackDown brand after Mania?
Is that, when they put me and Kenzo together?
No, you would have been finished up by then, you and Kenzo. Yeah, you and Kenzo was finished up by then. Yeah, definitely, you were finished up by then. So Ray and Eddie was good.
I think that's kind of slowly morphing into the French phenom with the fucking... I started facial hair, and I was trying different shit, and then I morphed into the French phenom with the... Yeah.
So you would have went back... did you go back down to... OVW before you went back up to Raw with the new look?
No, they kept me on the road. I think I was velocities and shit like that.
Right.
Yeah.
So obviously Mania 21, Cena became the champ. Did you see much of an interaction between him and Taker when Cena became champ? Because they never wrestled. They wrestled, they wrestled like once or twice. Well, they had like a program when Cena was a heel. Cena turned babyface early 04 and they had a match. It was round about Great American Bash. And they never wrestled since Cena turned face till like WrestleMania many years later. And that was just a throwaway match.
Right.
So they never interacted.
WrestleMania match, it lasted like fucking 3 minutes and went about a 2.5 minutes too long. Where Taker puts the boot by this fucking much.
Yeah.
Classic.
So, you obviously, you're on the Raw side now, and you've debuted a new look in that. Taker, I don't think he would have done, but obviously, he's pretty much a face of SmackDown. He was always on SmackDown. Did you ever see him turn up at any of the Raws, unless it was like a special like cross-promotion show?
Yeah. Oh, we're talking about. I remember Batista had made, because he went to SmackDown, right?
Yes, right? World champ.
Yeah, and Batista did a fucking interview with like a major magazine saying SmackDown was the B show. That's where Spike fucking stirred the pot and went right to Taker.
Fucking hell, he's a snitch.
Yeah. I remember that. And then I remember Taker and Batista sitting up in the stands talking it out. Yeah.
And Booker T kicked
Batista wasn't the fucking sharpest knife in the drawer, you know.
Booker T kicked his ass.
If he wasn't built the way he was built, what else is there? Can't wrestle, can't talk. It's his look. That's it. And that's made from fucking being a good chemist. Trust me.
I'll be honest, like I love Batista growing up, but you know what, when you see him online, he's a fucking idiot.
Yeah. No, I never cared idiot. Much about him. Yeah, he's a moron.
He is just a fucking idiot. And it's like, obviously, the Americans have got their gun laws and stuff like that, okay? I'm no expert, so I'm not gonna comment on. I know that it's illegal to sell guns over here in the UK. What's it like in Canada? Same? Or can you buy guns?
I think it's, you can buy hunting rifles.
Right.
I don't think you can. I think it's illegal. I'm not a gun guy at all.
No, I'm not.
I shot a gun in my life. That was it.
Yeah. Well, I have to laugh at the irony. Now, I know everyone, it's acting. But Batista is so anti-guns. I'm like, every one of your fucking movies revolves about guns.
Right.
I know it's acting, but I'm like the irony.
I was never a Batista fan. He didn't like me, and I didn't care much for him either.
All right. Yeah. So, obviously, you requested your release. I'm guessing there wasn't too much interaction, like, from that point with Taker.
I remember he came. Booker T had his... I was living in Houston, and me and Sly had went and done a Reality of Wrestling. That was Booker T's promotion, right? We worked against Charlie and Shelton.
Right.
And I remember Taker showed up, watched our match, and then left. And then that's when me and Sly debuted on ECW.
Right. So he obviously put the word in for you to the higher-ups.
Well, I'm sure Pat had something to do with it, too.
Is there anything you regret, like, with your interactions with Taker? In fact, obviously, you're 20-year-old and you're a kid at this point, but is there anything that goes through your head thinking, maybe I should have, like, I don't know, interacted with him more?
I was young, but I didn't want to come across like a fan. But I've been watching the motherfucker since I was 6, right? So I try not to act like a mark, but the first time I wrestled a singles match, it was like a SmackDown taping. And right before we're about to go out, I look at him and say, I don't want to sound like a mark, but it's an honor to get to wrestle you. He looked at me and says, don't think about that when you're out there. And he wasn't very happy with the match because the reaction. But the thing is, it was a double super show taping, right? So they see like an hour of Sunday Night Heat and dark matches, a 2-hour Raw at the time, a break, and then we were on. So the fans are already fucking sick of wrestling as it is.
Yeah.
They're tired. They've been there for 4 hours already, right? Up, down, commercial breaks, up, down, right? Oh, wait, there was a Velocity taping. Then it was us.
Right.
So they popped for his entrance, but at that point in time, I hadn't been used exactly in a role where it was after the Cena run and I was fucking, 50-50 booking or whatever, right?
Yeah.
So, anyway.
Let me just turn this light on because it's getting dark. There we go. So growing up as a fan of Taker, obviously the shit literally went down in, was it Italy when it happened? Did it upset you when you found out Taker was ordering it? Obviously, you would have been angry anyway, but as growing up, you was a fan of Taker. I'm guessing it really hurt you, thinking, wow, I used to idolize this guy as a kid.
The flag thing did, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, I came from a small French-Canadian town. I never experienced, like, prejudice or racism or, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, someone taking your nationality, your heritage, and sticking it in a toilet and urinating, defecating on it. That was
your worst experiences with Taker. What were some of your best experiences?
Well, after the sacrifice segment we did, he was all happy. I remember we had our singles match. He had that triangle choke, was it? What did he call it? The Hell's Gate?
Hell's Gate, yeah.
Right. So I think I'm the first guy he tried it on. We're backstage practicing, right? And he put it on for a shoot. And I fucking say, he was like a little kid, like all excited. Like, ooh, I did it. Because he's a fucking huge MMA mark. He's a mark MMA. Big time.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So when he properly applied the fucking thing and I tapped out, he was like a little kid, all giggity. 7 foot, 300-pound fucking dead man, all fucking happy.
I know. I can't imagine.
It's kind of funny, yeah.
Crazy, a sight to be seen.
Right? Yeah.
Before we go to fan questions, obviously, he's going to the Hall of Fame. Obviously, he's one of the greatest stars of all time. You've had mixed experiences, some bad. Hope by the sounds of it, towards the end, it went a lot better than what it was to begin with. But what do you make of his career, Renee? Like, overfed? We're not even looking at his WCW stuff and stuff like that. We're just looking WWE. Yeah. 30 years at the top, basically. What do you think to it?
Hell of a run.
Hmm.
Hell of a run. He only went through 3 wives. I mean, he's not as bad as Flair. Flair's on what? He just lost his last one, so now he beats. Is that five wives for Flair?
His last one as well. She was like 50 odd, but man, she was hot. Wendy.
I know. Fifi. Her name was Fifi. Fifi. Yeah.
She's actually hot now. I'm like, Flair, you fucked up.
Get rid of the old rooster and come see the fucking chicken hawk, baby.
The young cock.
The young cock. But, all right, fan questions. I gotta take a piss.
Go for a piss and I'll get these fan questions ready for you. All right. Cool. So, fan questions, Renee. Thanks, everyone, for your comments and your fan questions. We really appreciate it. And, yeah, let's try and get through as many as we can. So, first one by Manic Demise. Based on your own time around him, how would you sum up The Undertaker as a person psychologically? I can't read this word. His idiosyncrasies, his manner outside the ring, his influence on younger wrestlers, his interactions with yourself in general. Thank you once again, Aaron.
Yeah. He has an aura to the guy where no matter what, you're going to be intimidated by the guy. I mean, he's 7 foot fucking 300 pound fucking full of tattoos and he's got that face, right? I mean, he can scare the shit out of you just by looking at you, right? But, I mean, he has a, you know, he can sit down and talk with you like a father figure or a big brother, right? Came that way too. I always was, I find it easier talking with Glenn than it was with Taker. You know what I mean? Yeah. But yeah, all the guys respected just because he was there for so long and, you know.
Yeah. It's going to have to do a Kane episode one day. Yeah. Right. Oh, yeah, Metaloso Kussel. I hope I'm reading that right. I know I'm not. I wish the Tombstone Power Driver Steel Step spot is going to be discussed because I thought the spot was dangerous for the both of you. I remember Taker almost fell on his face from the Steel Steps after doing the move to you. Glad you both was okay.
Don't forget, I was like 270 pounds, dude.
You're a big dude.
Yeah. No. He's a pro. Yeah. What got me was if you watch it, he hits me with the steps. That was fine. Was when I took a flat, but that's cement right there, dude. Yeah. That little gray carpet. That's, dude, that's like, that's just a sheet. I was bumping right on cement. You know what I mean? That's an arena floor, dude. That's what I hit my head against, the fucking cement.
As someone who works with cement on a daily basis,
yeah.
Not nice.
No.
Question from Bill Blasky. Taker has universally been praised by many wrestlers as a locker room leader, someone you could go to for help and advice. But also I've heard that Taker was very much a backstage politician holding the WCW guys down. What was your take on Taker?
Well, he helped out Kevin Furtick, didn't he, with his little problem?
Oh, do tell.
I already told the story.
Yes.
Yeah, with said writer. The switch hitter writer. Yeah.
He was meant to... Kevin Furtick, so he had the Mordecai gimmick. I don't know if you remember that.
Oh, yeah.
I think he was actually going to be meant to be working with Taker that year or at WrestleMania.
Yeah.
Any more details on that?
Let me ask you a question.
Hmm?
Do you remember my French Phenom gimmick with the
funky mustache?
Now look at Mordecai.
Oh yeah.
Just saying.
Good. Let's see. Crispy Cruiser. Was it believed Fat Taker was too big for the IC or US Championship? Sometimes there's prevailing belief that some guys are too big for the mid-card titles, such as Hogan, Brock, and Taker.
Some guys don't need a belt.
It's true. Know? Yeah.
Like Jake Roberts didn't need a belt. Taker didn't need a belt. Understand?
Mm. Stephen J., was Renee ever part of Wrestler's Court, which Taker presided over?
No.
No?
No. After the whole incident with the clothes and stuff, Charlie smarted me up, said, you got to go buy Taker a bottle of Jack Daniels, which I paid 300 euro for. And it wasn't a big bottle. It was a small one. And he was playing cards, and I waited till he was done. And I said, you know, he basically told me the reason they did that is because I'm not open enough. I got to be more one of the guys and mingle and be a team player. I'm a loner. Always been a loner. Even in high school, I was a loner. So...
Do you think, I know it's hindsight 2020, but obviously you was only 20, so you wasn't legally allowed to drink, but do you believe, had obviously you can't help it, you're very much an introvert, I suppose we say.
Yeah.
Do you sometimes wish that you wish you did interact more with people, and that probably would have made your life easier?
Don't forget, it's the age difference. I was 20. You're with guys in their late 30s, 40s. Difference in age, difference in mentality, right? Mm. You know what I mean? So, like, for example, if it would have been guys like Jeter, Magnus, Mondo, guys like that, I've been fine. But just the age difference, right?
Yeah.
How does a 20-year-old who's really into bodybuilding get along with guys in their late 30s, 40s with fucking kids?
Yeah, that's right.
You understand? And wives. I can't relate to them.
It's one or two things. Had you been 5 years older, 5 or 6 years older, I reckon you would have got along better. Or if you came 10 years later, especially with like the roster, how it's been for the past 10, 15 years.
Yeah.
I reckon you've would have had a lot more easier time and probably have had more success, obviously, due to less, obviously, there's still backstage politics, but not as, like, less backstage politics, I suppose you could say.
Yeah, but the current administration are people that I know the way they think. I know the way they are. And all those memories from the past, you see, I'm twitching. One fucking wrong look, one wrong word, dude, I will fucking go off. Like, that's, I'll snap. Yeah.
Keen play, I would like to hear about the concussion Taker gave Renee.
He didn't.
No.
No. You know, right. The concussion I got was from the bump I took.
Right.
When he hit me with the steps, that was fine, but it's the flat back on the fucking cement.
Right.
Head against the cement, yeah. And nothing to do with him.
No. Taker was just a pro.
Oh, he's a pro.
Yeah.
A pro. No, you can't say anything bad about his work.
Oh, no.
Nope.
Great question by Nathan Drake. Renee, do you believe that the streak should have ended?
No. If it was going to end, that would have been his retirement match.
Yes.
That's it. And Brock was not the guy to drop it to.
Who do you believe should have been? Some people want
it. No, baby. No, I guess they're going to Roman, right?
Yeah.
I don't think, honestly, Roman has the heart. He's not. Not saying he's not talented, not saying he can't do a good job, but he's not the guy. Sorry, he's not.
Right.
I don't know. It's hard to say, but definitely not Brock.
A lot of the online fans wanted it to be Punk.
Fuck no. Fuck no. God no.
A few more of it. Joe 95. Have you ever seen Taker tape up his fist like he did for Shawn Michaels at Mania 14?
No.
No?
No.
Christian Ramirez, what's your favorite Undertaker match you've seen?
Was it Austin Taker with SummerSlam Highway to Hell?
98, yeah.
Didn't he fucking do a leg drop from the top rope to the fucking table?
I know. Stone Cold was concussed during that match.
Right. I remember watching because I was on the road working for my dad at that point in time. We were wrestling 7 nights a week. And we had finished one show and we stopped into an Indian. I was with a Native American wrestler. And we stopped into this random reserve where, of course, he had family. And we went and they were watching the pay-per-view. And he was convinced that both of them were drunk.
Where's he? How did the Undertaker gimmick become so successful? I mean, it's a dead guy. It could have easily went the way of Papa Shango or all those other wacky occupation gimmicks in that era.
No, because it was Vince McMahon's creation and he saw himself as the Undertaker.
Yeah.
Dude, he looks like a fucking corpse when he was sleeping. Trust me, I've seen it.
Have you seen Vince McMahon lately on TV?
Dude, I seen he did a. Did he do an interview with Pat McPhee? Right?
Yeah,
that's the guy Rip Rogers trained, Pat McPhee.
Yeah.
Did he basically say that his son-in-law cost him a lot of money?
I never actually watched the full interview. I'm gonna have to rewatch it.
I think I saw that clip. He said my son-in-law caught. Now, mind you, he's still on his fucking death, almost on his deathbed with fucking clogged arteries from all the fucking supplements he had to take to impress his daddy-in-law. And he goes on this fucking podcast with millions of people saying that, yeah, he's not good and he cost me a lot of money. Like, Jesus Christ. I guess he doesn't matter. Family don't matter. He's a straight shooter, right?
Any comments on Triple H retiring from wrestling?
Had a good run, made a lot of money. Get out while you still can, while you still have your fucking arteries cleared.
Right? What was it that Jim Cornette said?
What did he say?
He licked a right crack.
God damn, still motherfucker licking a right crack.
All right. One more question, and I gotta go.
Right. Renee, have you, Adam Page, Renee, was you ever approached to do podcasts before? If so, why didn't it work out? And why do you think that Cafe de Renee's working so well?
No, you're the first guy to approach me to do a podcast. During the fucking, the 2 years there, everything was shut down. I was bored and I just wrote on my Facebook page, I'm willing to do podcasts just because I was bored, right? And then I did one with you, and then you contacted me about if I was interested in doing more. And I said, what the fuck? Why not? I got nothing else to do. But I think people are enjoying it, right?
Yeah, I like to think so.
Yeah?
Why do you think it's working so well?
Not bad for 6 months, right?
And the reason it's working so well is because of me. Oh, did you hear about Ric Flair's podcast, man, before we leave?
Wow.
Yeah, I've heard.
Dude, what's the guy's name? Madden? Mark Madden?
Well, I've got the treats. Do you want me to show you? Tell you?
Show me this.
Let's see. So, Mark Madden, are you aware of Mark Madden, Renee?
I just remember from WCW, right? He wore the Hawaiian shirt, big fat guy.
That's right. He was like a color commentator. Pretty obnoxious. Tried to be like... He was a poor man's Jerry Lawler.
Right.
Right. So, Mike Madden, I am leaving Flair Uncensored podcast effective immediately. It's not a good fit for me, especially scheduling, prep, and taping during my jam-packed work week. You should try being fucking me, Mark. Thanks to Ric Flair and Pod Heat for the opportunity and understanding. So, pleasant treat. Ric Flair replied, love and appreciate you, Mark Madden, but actually, I relieved you of your duties. Best of luck with your work. I'll be back better than ever next Monday, going home to my son-in-law. Hey, it's Conrad.
Fuck him.
So, Conman Thompson's going to be his new co-host.
Of course he is.
Mark Madden replied, and by the way, you didn't have the balls to tell me you were firing me. You said the podcast was cancelled, period. Your son-in-law had to tell me the truth. Why couldn't you just let it go? Why couldn't you just be a friend after 35 years? Ric Flair, Mark, it's so sad. You've been telling everyone for 30 years that I'm the greatest wrestler ever. Quit trying to get the rub that made you who you are. Look forward to hearing you on the Pat McAfee show. Oh, wait, sorry. He cancelled you too. Just be happy and enjoy life.
Okay, so what's the deal? Like, was Flair showing up drunk or not doing it or what?
Well, there was another trade, which I missed it. By the way, my screen's blue. Sorry, everyone. It's getting dark. Mark Madden did tweet that he's going to reveal the truth in like a few days or something like that.
Oh.
The reason they was kicked off podcast one, I think it was on.
Right.
So there's more to the story. So we haven't got to that point yet, Renee. So hopefully me and you can stay friends for a little bit longer.
Right.
Who would you replace me with, Renee? You got any like possible candidates in case, you know, things go tits up?
Fuck no. No, if you go away, so do I. Because I'm too lazy and I don't feel like finding anybody else. I'm the type of guy, like, if I like something, I stick with it. You know what I mean?
People's asked me privately, they've said, would you do a similar podcast like what I do with you? I've just said I haven't got the time. I said, unless it's Bret Hart.
Unless it's Bret Hart.
I'll make the time. But no. But cool. So, great episode, Renee. So, Undertaker, Hall of Fame career. Congratulations to him. Vince McMahon's inducting him, but hell of a career. Like you mentioned earlier, what was your favorite Taker? The Mortician Taker? Early Taker, would you say?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Definitely, because I was a kid, right?
Someone put a TikTok video out, and it was amazing when you think about it. He said, WWE, The Undertaker, had us believe that he burnt his parents' house down and killed his brother, only for his brother to come back from the dead to get revenge on him. And we all believe that shit.
Right.
The good old days.
Or when he resuscitated, when the fucking lightning bolts hit the coffin and set it on fire.
Yeah. Great. So, Renee, before we leave, tell everyone who's our next guest.
He was one of the most famous characters of the Attitude Era. You know him as the famous Gilbert, Dwayne Gill. With some awesome stories and insight of one of my favorite wrestlers, Goldberg. That's right, Billy Boy. You're going to get exposed, buddy. Next week on the podcast.
Cool. Thanks, everyone. And I think I'll do a little cheap plug for myself. I haven't told you who I interviewed last night, and it's coming out this Friday. If you're a Mortal Kombat fan, I interviewed Chris Casamassa, who played Scorpion in the Mortal Kombat movies. So I had a great chat for him. So if you want to head over to Primetime Conversations, please give me a subscribe. But thanks, everyone. Please keep subscribing. Numbers have been going up lately. We're nearly at 3,200. Hopefully, the target is to hit 4,000 subscribers before Renee returns to Japan in a few weeks. So if you could drop us that, please. And also, please invest in Wrestling Crypto and support Renee.
Wrestling Crypto new, bruh. Bonsoir, au revoir. À la prochaine.